friends. This is Lindsay, and do you want to say your name?
Hi, I'm Benny.
Okay, this is our first time together, so it's awkward. We were just saying that the first time's always awkward. But for those of you that have been listening to the podcast, Ash is no longer with us.
Dan, go back to that.
They're still alive.
They're still alive.
Ash is in a better place because they're not recording the podcast right now. They're hopefully listening to it.
They're on a nice farm where nothing bad ever happens.
I did see they were on the beach today, which looked lovely.
Well, that's awesome.
So shout out Ash, who's been a mentor to me, gave both of us a job. So
yeah,
I wouldn't have met Benny without Ash. Oh, I guess real quick, my pronouns are she, her. Benny, what are your pronouns?
She, they.
Okay, perfect. And we're just going to have a good time with y'all. We're going to talk about the news. We're going to talk about probably a lot of dogs because we're both big dog people. Benny, what has kind of popped out at you about the news this week?
Definitely the Supreme Court decisions. I've been hearing a lot about that.
Yes. So for anybody that is looking for SGN coverage on the new Supreme Court decisions, that will be out next week because we're always a little bit behind. It takes a while for perfection, you know?
But we're also real mad about it.
I'm furious about it. Oh my God. They struck down affirmative action and then they ruled that it's okay to discriminate against gay people, which, by the way, this is all hypothetical because this LLC case, no gay people wanted this woman making their websites because we have taste. She made it all the way to the Supreme Court anyways, won her case. And then right after that, they ruled that forgiving student loans was unconstitutional. So we're broke and angry is what's going on here.
I think that we should just all imagine that this specific woman wanted business from all of us and that now it's completely in our right to refuse business to her.
That is true. Yeah, let's turn that on its head. Are we allowed to discriminate against, like, the Christians? I don't think so, actually. I think that's, like, against religious freedom or something. I don't know.
We'll have to do, like, a good person test.
Yes, exactly.
Like, let's see if you agree with my specific worldview before we trade currency. I think it's pretty funny how we have these people on the right that are complaining about businesses, like, go woke, go broke. But then when capitalism favors people that they don't like, they're not very fond of that.
Yeah. Let's see. So Justice Gorsuch delivered the opinion of the court regarding this LLC versus Alanis case and basically said that Colorado's law, their anti-discrimination law, was unconstitutional because it violated the free speech clause of the First Amendment.
What part of that transaction is free speech? Because I know people say, like, vote with your dollar, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can understand a little bit of the argument when people say that spending your money is, like, a form of free speech.
Yeah.
But, like, you're running a business. Why would you not want more business?
Yeah. So I think what they ruled is that you have the freedom to speak and to not speak. And in her creating a wedding website, hypothetically, because again, no gay couple with taste ever would want her to create their website.
She's definitely not helping at my wedding.
Yeah. She would be forced to create websites celebrating marriages she does not endorse. And so it would be like forced speech because I guess she will not produce content that contradicts biblical truth, regardless of who orders it.
Now, I'm trying to think of how we can turn this on its head.
Yes, that is the chaotic gay way to think, honestly.
Well, because I remember when the whole cake debate was going on way back in the day, I explained to somebody who was in favor of discriminating against certain customers. Actually, this was not that case specifically. This was the case of the government worker who did not want to sign marriage certificates.
Oh, I don't remember this. Can you fill me in on that?
Yeah, this was like, man, I think I was freshly out of high school when this happened, but there was this one gal who her whole job was signing these certificates or signing different papers, and she started refusing to sign the marriage certificates of gay people. And a ton of Republicans spoke in support of her. I'm trying to remember if like Ted Cruz was one of them that spoke and like had her on the podium with him. I can't remember exactly because this was so long ago, but there is a strong argument to be made against government workers not being able to do this kind of thing, because their whole job is serving the people. And there's a lot of ways that could get kind of funky. The way that I turned it on its head is I said, what would happen if, for instance, a government worker in a prison, right? Like, let's say that their job was to pass out the lunches in prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this one person really in the prison, they're a prisoner, they specifically really want bacon, right? And they unfortunately end up being in the cell block that is served by this one government worker or this prison worker who happens to follow the faith of Islam. And they've decided that due to their faith, that the people that they serve in their specific cell block, they're not going to give any of the bacon to those prisoners.
Yeah.
And that actually ended up kind of working. They were like, oh, I didn't think about it that way.
That is such a smart way of getting people to see your side, though. That was like, speaking of Supreme Court justices who don't suck, Ruth Bader Ginsburg did that with helping to pass, before she was a justice, cases that helped with like anti-discrimination for women. If she mm-hmm. found cases where like men were suffering or being discriminated against, in the same way where you find a way that the Christians are being violated by this ruling and it overruled it.
Yeah. So I'm just trying to think of like how this ruling could be turned on its head. And I think that we may find, since a lot of creatives, I feel like, I don't want to be statistically inaccurate, but I would think that a lot of creatives, they lean a little bit more progressive. They might have a drought in any kind of work from creative types because of this.
Oh, absolutely. It's just all going to be awful, like classical biblical drawings for things.
It's going to be AI art.
They don't want to work with the robots. If they don't want to work with the gays, they definitely don't want to work with the robots. I'm just saying.
I think at this point, they have more empathy for robots than they do for gay people. They're probably more likely to assign a personality to their self-driving Tesla that's going to kill them than they are to think that a gay person is a person.
Yikes, that is so true, though. Okay, real quick before we move off of this subject, I did want to bring up, because I found the dissent for 303 Creative LLC versus Alanis, and I'm a huge nerd. I'm a huge law nerd. Not a lawyer, didn't go to law school. Shout out, Mom, sorry. But Justice Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson, so they're kind of the big three as far as women that aren't bigots on the Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
And they three jointly issued the dissenting piece where they said, today, the court, for the first time in history, grants a business open to the public a constitutional right to refuse to service members of a protected class. Specifically, the court holds that the First Amendment exempts a website design company from a state law that prohibits the company from denying wedding websites to same-sex couples if the company chooses to sell those websites to the public. But what really gets me is they brought it up. The LGBTQ community is a protected class, and this ruling, it kind of threw out a lot of anti-discrimination protections that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's terrifying to think about what could come next. Will they be able to discriminate against other protected classes, like by race or religion or ethnicity? Bringing up your bacon story, like, what's going to stop somebody from saying, oh, well, if you're Islamic, you can't eat at our restaurant or something?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
be able to justify it under the same ruling as this. We live in a dystopia.
One good example that I remember a friend of mine bringing up years ago was, what happens if you're on a road trip and your car breaks down in some place that's very red, and the only mechanic in town decides that they're not going to fix your car because of whoever you are?
Oh, yeah, especially if you have a coexist bumper sticker.
Yeah, and then what happens? Like, you know, for instance, if it was like there was a heat wave and you're stuck in Texas and you end up going to the hospital because of heat stroke because nobody would fix your car and you had to be out there and you couldn't get out of Texas. Who's going to hold that mechanic liable for putting you in that situation?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Kind of scary to think about the ramifications that come, because like the Supreme Court rules on such a specific case. This is about a website for weddings. It's not life or death, but the ramifications could be, you know, it could open the doors for people to discriminate in those situations, for, you know, not only a mechanic to discriminate against you for being liberal, but like you said, yeah, a mechanic that sees a gay couple and is like, oh, I'm not going to help them.
Yeah. Or a hotel refusing service.
Yeah.
There's so many ways where it could just turn out badly for people who are in the worst situation. And yeah, it sucks. I just would have to say that, like, with the whole Christianity angle, whatever happened to taking on the opportunity to soften the hearts of people who are closed off to your Lord and Savior. My father is a pastor, and he served all members of our community, no matter what who they were or what their beliefs were. And, you know, he'd say that the best way that you could spread your faith is through acts of service and treating people like people. And maybe you'll either, one, you'll help them out and you'll do something nice for somebody else. Or if they just so happen to change their mind on their beliefs, then that's also a win.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to killing people with kindness instead of just killing people?
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody's going to want to convert to Christianity because you're being a bigot to them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, with that being said, I wish that I could say that we're going into an interview that's going to be like super fun and lighthearted and make you forget about the Supreme Court. But we're going to be talking about domestic violence. So I'll be back with an interview with Kate Magoo.
Join the King County Library System for all ages summer reading. Earn prizes for reading through August 31st. Read anything you want, whatever way you like. Get great book recommendations from KCLS staff. Enjoy programs, performances, and activities at your library all summer long. Our free summer reading program is open to children, teens, and adults. All are welcome. Visit kcls.org/summer to get started.
So how long have you been a counselor for?
I've actually just started as far as starting my business as a counselor just this year in the beginning of 2023. But I actually have been kind of as a counselor working with New Beginnings, which is a domestic violence advocacy agency. I started working with them in 2018, 2019-ish. So I've been kind of in the counselor capacity in different ways, but I just finished school and started my business this year.
Oh, well, congratulations on that. And what made you want to get involved with New Beginnings? How did you find them?
Well, my counselor journey, I guess, starts like I had a bachelor's degree in psychology, and then I was a hairstylist, and I did all these different things. And then I met my now ex-husband, and I ended up realizing that he was abusive and leaving that marriage and that relationship. And I had been living with him in Las Vegas, and I moved back home to Seattle. One of my friends said, you know, please call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. And I was like, I don't know. Is it domestic violence? I'm not sure. And she's like, just call them. They'll help you. And they did. They let me know that it was domestic violence and that this is something I should do something about. And so they connected me to the court system to get a restraining order and then also to New Beginnings, where I attended a support group. And so I was a participant in that support group for about 6 months. My eyes were so wide open to what is domestic violence, intimate partner violence, abuse, what is this? And all the mechanisms that take place within those dynamics of those kinds of relationships. And so 5 years later, I went back to them and I said, I want to volunteer and run the support group. So then I did that for the next few years.
Wow, that is amazing. And thank you for sharing. I know that's a very difficult topic to probably talk about, especially with somebody whose face you can't see. So you said that you didn't know that it was domestic violence. Do you think that there are a lot of aspects of domestic violence that people, maybe even people in relationships that may be domestically violent, are unaware of?
100%. Yeah, because it's not something that's taught in schools. I mean, maybe they're starting to talk about it a little bit more now, but when I left my ex, it was 2014, and I had never heard of gaslighting. It just wasn't talked about, and it's not talked about. And so, especially those of us that have been out of school for a while, I think they are talking about it now. But yeah, there's just so much that is hidden that people don't quite hear about or know about to even begin to start to look at it. And I think that there's also stigma around it where what we do see might be on TV or the movies where it's really, really, really bad to the point of this person could possibly die at this moment. It's either not talked about or it's seen into the extreme. And So if it's seen into the extreme, people will say, well, it's not me. I didn't experience this. And if it's not talked about, then people don't even know what the terms are or terms are being thrown around. And so the key indicator to know if the relationship is not safe, and that's really what we're talking about, right? Is if the relationship is not safe, if there's a power dynamic that is not in balance. So one person is doing things to try and get control over the other person. That's where we see emotional abuse, psychological abuse, sexual abuse, financial abuse, all the different types of abuse will be there before the physical abuse will occur typically, but that's still any kind of abuse still means it's domestic violence.
Thank you for sharing. I think that is such important information that people should be aware of. I know that we have already gotten into some pretty heavy topics, but just real quick for any of our listeners who may be reconsidering whether or not their relationship is something that would be considered domestic abuse, what do you think are the first steps that someone should take?
Go to the National Domestic Violence Hotline website or call them or text them.
Great. And we will put the number in the show notes as well. So anybody who needs that can find that. And I'll just kind of go on to my next question, because you mentioned when you reached out via email to us that domestic violence disproportionately impacts LGBTQ partners. Why do you think this is?
There's a lot. Historically, the domestic violence literature has been referred to as gender-based, and it's been man does to woman. And we know this is not true. This is not all relationships, obviously, but it's kind of like that first wave feminism movement where it just like excluded everybody else, right? Or like a lot of political movements start with one group, but it inherently are exclusionary. And so that's how this started as well, unfortunately, and is still not always talked about in an inclusionary space. And so people will not either be seeing the information or not recognize themselves in it. If they're like, oh, it's, you know, man does to woman, that's not us. I think that's a big part of it. The other part is that power dynamic where one person is holding in power over another person. If there's a power dynamic because of the social status, right? And you can also see this in race, ethnicity, disability, language of origin, nation of origin, like in any way that there's a different power dynamic that can be played into a relationship. I guess really the third reason would just be that there's still a lot of crappy people in this world. If you're in a relationship with somebody who's maybe they're closeted themselves and they want to be in this relationship with the person, but they're having their own issues play out, then that can experience itself in that power dynamic of violence against that person.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. And like you said, a lot of times it stems from disproportionate power imbalances. So where in LGBTQ communities do you see this? Is it most often with age gaps or income variances, all of the above?
I don't have statistics going to that level. While it is a fantastic question, it's hard to say, and playing into all of this too, right, is that research has to get funded. And so there just hasn't been as much research. Statistics I do have that I like pulled to have accurate things ready. 61.1% of bisexual women, 26% of gay men, and 37.3% of bisexual men have reported an experience of rape, physical violence, and or stalking within an intimate relationship. And 54% of transgender and non-binary people experience intimate partner violence in their lifetimes.
Wow, that is a shocking statistic. So aside from reaching out to domestic violence hotlines, text lines, things like that, do you know of other resources that people, particularly trans people or people in the LGBTQ community, can access to try and alleviate this just overwhelming amount of violence that happens in relationships, especially with queer and trans people?
Yes, there's also PFLAG and the Northwest Network. The reason why I say the National Domestic Violence Hotline is because they will connect people to their local resource. And the funding is for these advocacy agencies. It still comes from the federal government through the state government and then down to local governments. And so when you call to get assistance, you have to live within the jurisdiction of where the funding's coming from. And so that's why I always start people there, because then you can figure out where is the place that is going to actually help you. So you're not like calling around and telling your story a thousand times when that's not comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And you said you mentioned people needing to live in certain jurisdictions. Does that then not include help for people that may be homeless or experiencing housing insecurity?
No, people are included. It's just wherever you are residing.
Okay, perfect. That is super cool. And I know you also mentioned that you run an empowered dating workshop. This could potentially be another great resource for people to learn more about healthy relationships. Would you mind elaborating a little bit about what this empowered dating workshop entails?
Yeah, and I'll actually broaden that response as well. So the empowered dating workshop is an idea I created to prevent as much domestic violence as we can as a community, right? And so the idea is for people to come in and learn about what is a healthy relationship, what are the warning signs of abuse, what are these different power dynamics, what is codependency, what is love bombing, what is gaslighting, to learn about all these things. So then when you're going into relationship or dating, you can avoid those dynamics with those relationships. I also run domestic violence counseling support group. So it's a therapy group. I have one going right now, and I'm hoping to have another one start next month in July. And that's for people who have already been through it. So it feels a little bit different as a preventative workshop is the Empowered Dating Workshop. So that is on the third Thursdays of the month in West Seattle. Details are on my website. And then the support counseling group would be reach out to me and we'll like find a time that fits. And then I also have a series of books.
That was my next question. It was going to be about your books.
Great.
Real quick though, before I get to your books, I did have just a couple more questions about the support group and the workshop. Why do you think the support group is so important? You know, does community help when recovering from a domestic violence situation?
100%. Yes, community helps for sure. I mean, community is mental health resiliency, right? I think just having a sense of community and social supports and people around you is so, so important. But also in this group, people will learn about concepts. I introduce concepts a little bit more slowly in the group because it's more directly been impacted than in the workshops. There'll be more overview kind of information. But as I share the information with the group participants, some people will have a comment of, oh, I can see where this happened here. I can see where this happened there. And there's just so much kind of swirling around that you're trying to process. So it helps to hear somebody else's experiences, but then also having the support and the validation from more than just one person, having other people being able to support. And then also being able to see people's places and different places in their journeys. So if somebody is either still in a relationship or somebody just got out of one, or if somebody's been out of one for a while and now they're coming to the group to process it, people are all going to be able to learn from each other and support each other. And I think that's a really important part of it too.
Yeah, completely agree. And that sounds like a super powerful thing to be involved in. So I mean, thank you for leading this. First of all, you're an amazing person in our community. For any of our listeners, is there a way to get involved in either the support group or the dating workshop? Can they find that information on your website, or is there a place to go to register?
Yes, it is all on my website. So if you're interested in being a member of the counseling support group, you can just go to the group counseling page on my website. And then once you've decided like this is for me or not for me, you can just click contact me and schedule a 15-minute consultation, and then we'll go from there. But if you are wanting to come and hang out and learn at the Empower Dating Workshop, you can go to that page on my website. And there's links to everything from the homepage and register and show up. It's $45 and it's third Thursdays from 7 to 9 at Rainier Hair Studio in West Seattle. And shout out to the owner, Megan, who is letting me use her space because she also sees this value for the community.
That's amazing. And are there any prerequisite requirements for taking that class? Is there an age requirement or anything like that?
No, there's no requirements. I'm like, let me think about this. No, we're good.
Amazing. Super, super cool. Okay, so now I have some questions about your book, Warning Signs. So this book recently came out, correct?
Yes. I've been working on it since 2018, but I just published it last year.
Well, congratulations on publishing. That's such an accomplishment. It's an actual story. Is it your own story then?
It is my story, yes. So it reads as though you're reading a romance story. It's like you're reading along and it's like, ooh, and then boy meets girl and this is the thing that happens and da-da-da. So it reads like you're reading this like quick, exciting, adventurous romance story. But after every single chapter, there's a chapter called Warning Signs. And in that chapter, it explains this is really what was happening behind the scenes. This is the domestic violence that I didn't know that was occurring at the time, but now I know. And so now this is part of the story. And so the idea is that you can see, the reader can understand it with a real life example right in front of them.
Wow, that is so cool, especially with at the beginning of the interview, you mentioning that a lot of times domestic violence when seen in the media is portrayed as, you know, this big dangerous thing. And then we often do see, you know, things that are shown to be romantic that when you look at it from a critical lens, you can be like, no, that is problematic behavior. Why are we, you know, celebrating and thinking this prince is so wonderful when he's relentlessly pursuing somebody? Wow, that is just, I love that idea and I love that you've created it. Have you received much feedback yet since the book's come out?
I've had some feedback from some readers. I haven't had as many readers as I would like, so please, people, read the book. But most of the feedback I get is like people can see themselves in it, even if they didn't obviously go through the exact same situation. There's just, unfortunately, inherently patterns in domestic violence that just play themselves over and over in all sorts of different relationship styles. And so people can see where they've been. I've also had readers question if they were perpetrators before. And so,
oh, wow.
Really interesting place for discussion.
Definitely. And kind of what do you hope readers take out of the book?
Well, okay, depending on the reader, right? If you are a person who has experienced it and you're reading this, looking to learn to understand more, like that's 100% there. That's like my main audience, main purpose, right? But it's also for just anybody to read it so they can prevent it from getting in their own life, or perhaps they recognize that they have experienced it and there's some things for them to process from their lives. Or even if you don't think that there's any chance it's happened to you or someone, it could maybe be happening to someone you know. So the other like overall statistics are 1 in 3 women have experienced this. So it has happened to someone you know. Like, even if you don't know, like it has to have, if 1 in 3 women. So if people can read this, then they can understand what happens and they can help friends get out of it or help friends process through it. And also understand why we don't leave very quickly, because you get caught up in that psychological abuse that makes it hard to even consider leaving for a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. I just have a couple more questions left for you, but kind of building off of that last answer, as a friend or somebody that may want to support a person that could be experiencing domestic violence or abuse, what are the main things that you would suggest doing or saying, and what should you avoid doing or saying if someone in your life may be experiencing this?
That's a really good question. So listen, tell them that you're there for them and ask them if they want to talk about it. And sometimes the person will want to talk about it, and maybe the next day they want to watch a movie. But just let them know that you're there. You're not pressuring them to talk about it. If you notice these things, tell a person. It's better to let a person know that this is what they're experiencing, even at risk of losing the friendship. So I like to phrase it as put the friend over the friendship. So that friend's life is more important than your friendship with that friend. So if you see something, say something.
Wow, that's very powerful.
Yeah. But also, don't push anyone to make any decisions. Just let them know you're there and find resources that can help. there's a page on my website called DB Resources. So there's links to all sorts of different resources there. And if the person is ready to, you know, to talk to someone about it, they can get in contact with me or call the hotline and figure out who their local agency is.
Nice. That is super cool. And then just one last question for you before we wrap up, and I'll ask you if there's anything else you'd like to add afterwards. But I know from experience that a lot of times looking for mental health advocacy and help can be a daunting task. What advice do you have for anybody? It doesn't have to be necessarily tied in with domestic violence, but anybody that is looking to find the right counselor or resources for them.
Well, I do want to have a shout out to this website called Inclusive Therapist. So this website, before they would let me join it, they asked me like to outline my counseling and my just my beliefs and things on LGBTQ, on race, on disability, on fat shaming and fat phobia. Like they asked me to explain all my beliefs on all these things. And then they even were like, oh, this one was kind of vague. Can you give us more information and then go back and explain more? And then they let me be a therapist list on their website. So they super, super vet everybody for their inclusivity. And I think that's just a really great place to start to find someone.
Wow, that is amazing. I know a lot of people in the LGBTQ community especially struggle to find therapists that understand or can relate to a lot of their experiences. It can be, you know, very hard talking with a cisgendered person about being trans, for example. So that seems like an excellent resource, and we'll try to include that in the show notes as well. Thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd like to add just about your workshop, your classes, your books, or domestic violence?
Okay, so I have the domestic violence counseling groups, and then I'm also hoping to start some other counseling groups for other topics as well, depending on interest. But I'd like to do some on generalized anxiety and how to help, like some coping skills and like a counseling group around anxiety. I think it would be very cool. I'd like to also do one to help people with academics and careers, just that whole like, where am I going in life? I think that's such a fun thing to talk about and can be really helpful for a person's mental health when they feel like they know where they want to go in that regard. So if people are also interested in groups for those, you can find that on my website as well. Or art meditation, which would be just to paint and meditate. And that would also actually be put on by my partner, who is an artist. And we'd be running those groups together, counselor and artist. So all sorts of mental health things.
That sounds super cool, super fun, especially the kind of, it sounds almost like a 20-something boot camp, you know, figuring out where you want to go with academics and career. I need that so much. So thank you so much again for this interview. And listeners at home, please check out her website and reach out to your friends, check in on your friends. And if you think someone you know or yourself may be experiencing domestic violence, don't hesitate to call the hotline. And we're back. That was a fun interview. That's what Ash would always do. They would be like, we're back. And then I would have like not known anything about the interview, but I would offer like comments sometimes and be like, yeah, that was fun. And they're like, you didn't even hear it. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You know, one thing I did learn from Kate, though, that is crazy that I didn't really, I think maybe I knew before, but I'd forgotten, is that 1 in 3 women are victims of domestic violence. Like, just think about that for a second. Like, you know somebody that's a victim of domestic violence, and that's just crazy that our world is like this. Mm-hmm. Really fucked up. And just to reiterate what I said in the interview several times, if you or someone you know might be experiencing domestic violence, please feel free to reach out. There are hotlines, there are text lines, and we are going to have all of that information in the show notes below. Stay safe out there. Look out for your friends, because you know somebody that has experienced this.
And you're not alone. There's a ton of resources. I've done work with the Snohomish County Domestic Violence Center, and there's places that you can go where they'll take care of you.
Yes, absolutely. So now we'll change gears just a little bit to something that actually might be fun. Benny, you last Friday went to Trans Pride. Was that at Volunteer Park?
Yes.
Yeah, and you saw some celebrities, so...
Yes.
I would love to hear more about your experience.
Yeah, so Trans Pride Seattle was great. with Volunteer Park just hosting Pride at the Park a little while ago, it was interesting to see the difference between the two. And I really appreciated that Trans Pride Seattle was a lot less corporate. Like, the only really corporate booth there was Starbucks. The rest were all union members, charitable organizations, activist organizations, and, you know, businesses that were actually queer-centered. And so I thought that was fantastic. Undead Voice was there, which I don't know if you know this, but if you happen to be in the market for voice lessons because you want to train your voice to match how you would specifically like to sound if you're a trans person, then they offer voice lessons. They had a booth there. They're awesome, super kind. I'd definitely look into it if you're looking for that kind of service.
That is so cool.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
I'm cis, but I hate my voice. So like, I would definitely look into that.
Yeah, definitely. And then they started the show and it was hosted by I'm trying to remember what specifically she calls herself, because I'm not sure if she calls herself a drag queen. I'm going to just say drag persona was the host because she's genderqueer. But she did a fantastic job. And we had some really awesome speakers come up. We had Senator Marco Elias. He had some really great things to say about what they're doing in our state and what upcoming pieces of legislation are doing, what they're doing to protect the LGBTQI plus community. And then also Zoe Zephyr. I was so excited about that.
That is so cool. So for any of our listeners who might not know who Zoe Zephyr is, do you want to just real quick fill them in? But everybody should know who she is.
Yeah. So Zoe Zephyr is a representative in Montana, and she is such an amazing woman. She was recently in the news because she was silenced and censured and was not allowed to speak on the anti-trans legislation that was being put forward in Montana. And she stayed strong. She stood up for herself and brought a lot of attention to the issue. And I really, after seeing how she stood up for not only herself, but her community, I couldn't help but stand.
Yes.
Pure queen.
And she had like a happily ever after too, because she got a bunch of support, a bunch of people backed her up. And then didn't she like publicly propose to her girlfriend after that?
Yes, she publicly proposed to her girlfriend, and her girlfriend happened to be there at the show. She didn't speak, but it was great to see the both of them. I'm so happy for them. They make such a cute couple.
Yes, and they are a power couple. Like, for anybody that doesn't know as well, her girlfriend, you can find her on TikTok as Erin in the Morning. They're both transgender women. Erin does news, a lot of good news. She's just like, if you're somebody that's a dork about news, like I think we both are, she's one of those people that's probably on your For You page. She's always got really cool earrings. She does like, what is it? Is it like rainbow good news or something earrings?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, but she's just a great person. She's super fun. And you got to be in a vicinity with both of them. And so I'm so jealous of that. But yeah, super fun. Lauren got some really great pictures as well. Speaking of cute power couples in the queer community. Yeah, is there anything else you'd like to share about the event?
Other than that, they had a lot of performers. It was great. It was a great party. The people who attended were fantastic. It was pretty chill. With a lot of the Pride events, it's hard to actually talk to anybody because there's so many people, there's so much noise, and there's so much going on. But just being there and being able to talk to and hang out with members of our community and see them enjoying the show and the booths was just fantastic.
Nice. That sounds so fun. And I see at the end there was a lot of like performers there. I want to shout out Gender Envy. I love them. I got to see them at Trans Day of Visibility at Pride in the Park. Did you get to see them perform while you were there?
Yes. They were dope.
Yeah, they're so cool. But it looks like all these people are just super cool. There was somebody from The Voice, which, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a few more minutes. Is there anything else you'd like to share? Maybe something that was in the paper or like a highlight of your week this week?
Mostly just seeing so much support for Pride this month.
Yeah.
I also got to catch a little bit of the parade and a little bit of the festivities this weekend. That was great. That was actually the first time that I've been to the Seattle Pride Parade.
Really?
Yes. And it was fantastic.
Yeah, I got to cover the Pride Parade for the second year in a row, and it was super fun. I will second that. The floats are really cool. Oh, and we were going to mention, we've got a few more minutes, we can mention it really quick. Some of the drama at the parade.
Spill the tea.
Yes, the parade was led by Starbucks workers, which is amazing. We stand workers. We don't cross union picket fences here.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Starbucks workers, we've talked about them a lot on the podcast, are fighting to be unionized, and Starbucks has been a dick about it. And then I want to say like 10, not very far behind them, like probably 10 floats behind them, was the actual Starbucks corporate float. And after two blocks, they dipped out of the parade because they were just being booed. People were not here for corporate Starbucks. I just think like that is a testament to Seattle's queer culture. We stand workers' rights.
All rights are our rights.
Yes. And they had some amazing signs, the workers, that said things like, trans rights are workers' rights. And I was like, yeah, that's true. So shout out to anybody that stood with the Starbucks workers. I think that's a huge win for them, persevering through and leading the parade. And especially in the wake, too, of Starbucks taking down all of their Pride decorations during Pride Month. Not cool, Starbucks. I can get a Frappuccino somewhere else. Thank you very much.
Also, shout out to that one dude who was dressed like Freddie Mercury.
Yes, you saw him too. I have like 20 pictures of this guy. He was so cool. He came up and I was like, that guy kind of looks like Freddie Mercury. And then they started playing a Freddie Mercury song and he was like flipping his baton. He was so sassy. Then he dropped it and I felt so bad for him. But then he picked it back up and he just kept going, which is like so Freddie Mercury of him.
Yeah, but if you happen to hear this, faux Freddie Mercury, shout out to you.
And also Cameron took a bunch of pictures there. I didn't see Cameron, our intern, but they also took pictures of the Freddie Mercury guy. And I was like, yes, this dude was so cool.
Honestly, that was the best.
Yeah, it was. That and seeing all of the dogs dressed up. So if anybody is following our TikTok presence, it's @SeattleGayNews_, because Ash has mentioned several times Seattle Gay News was taken. I've been making plenty of TikToks of the Dogs of Pride. And so check it out. Check out all the dogs that were marching in the parade, because there was a lot of them. And they were colorful and sassy.
Canine rights.
Yes. And they stand with the Starbucks workers.
They do. They really do. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 100%. No pup cups for them from Starbucks.
They won't be begging to cross the picket line anytime soon.
Oh, I like that. Yes. All the dog puns. Dogs for workers' rights.
Workers, sometimes they've got it rough.
You're on fire. Dang. So I guess this has been our podcast, the first Lindsay and Benny podcast officially, now that Benny is co-hosting. So again, follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter. Our intern Cameron's going to be making more memes, hopefully. Shout out Cameron and shout out Dan for editing this. Shouting out everybody because that's what I do.
Lots of positivity.
Yes, so much positivity.
Or would you say positivity?
Yes, positivity and dog memes. Shouting out to all the dogs. Give your dog a kiss for us.
Yeah, make sure before you leave the house that you turn on our podcast so that your dogs can be informed about what's going on in the community.
Absolutely. We are running out of time, but you just reminded me of something that I feel is very important. My dog, Peter, who listeners know is a drag queen that goes by Patricia, and unfortunately was robbed this year at the Doggy Drag Show and didn't place again, but that's not the point. Peter was subjected to Fox News running 24/7 because when my dad would leave the house, he would leave News on. And Peter was a Republican for a while. So if your dog is a Republican too and maybe growls when your same-sex partner tries to kiss you, play our podcast for them. Okay, have a great week, listeners. Check out the paper, grab a copy, check us out on social media, check us out online. Follow me and Benny on our personal accounts if you want to see what we're up to, see what our dogs look like. They're all really cute. Yeah, I don't know how to sign off. Love you. Bye. That's
bye.
Bye to my mom. Yeah. Bye.